Blog Talk Radio.
After I watched True Blood last night. Oh.
Man, I missed it. I almost don't want you to tell me at the same time. I want to know!
Well, I have to tell you this because they were playing Ryan and they were singing the song. Jessica the Vampire was singing Cherry Bomb. She didn't bring it as hard as I would have. Yeah, she didn't bring it as hard as I wanted her to bring it. I'm like, come on, Jessica. Whip the hair around, girl. Do it. But she didn't. But still, I was all excited. Like, they're playing Rock Band. It's okay. Somebody at that show is a gamer. That's not the first time we've seen a console on True Blood. A couple seasons ago, was it Bill the Vampire that was playing Wii Tennis or something? And he got
Wii Golf.
Yeah, I know he was playing something on Wii. So, and I think I've seen an Xbox on there once before. I can't remember, but I'm always excited. So somebody over there at True Blood's a gamer. So thank you. And they're not making it cheesy either, so it was good. Thank you, guys. We appreciate the love. You missed True Blood?
I did. I don't have cable, so I was going to go watch it at Friends, and then I didn't get around to it. Actually, I was gone most of the weekend. I got back Sunday morning, 1:30-ish, I think. It was late. It was so late. So then I slept in most of yesterday. So, but yesterday evening I just felt like crap. I'm trying to center myself here. That was a long drive because we left Friday afternoon and drove up there, and then drove back Saturday night. That's like 8.5 hour drive either direction. So tired.
Oh,
I'm old for this. I remember driving to Colorado in one day and back. You know. When I was younger, and now I'm getting old, and it's like, screw this.
You're not getting old. Jay says they were terrible at Rock Band. He was just a damn pointed. You know what? Like I said, she didn't bring it. You know, because when we play Rock Band, as Jay knows, we are all in character. And it's time for us to do that again. And you got to pick up a copy, just even if you just get you got to play with us. We are so damn hardcore. Like, we are really a band.
That's hot. Can you play it online?
Yeah, you can play it online with each other. Yeah.
I may have to do this because that would be so much fun. All right, I have to know. Is Tara alive?
I am not telling you.
You have to tell me. Not telling me crap. No, you have
okay.
to tell me.
Let me tell you this much. It's not what you think. I can't spoil it. We have a lot of people that listen to the show that watch True Blood, and I have gotten in trouble for spoiling stuff before. I cannot tell you.
Wow. Y'all are going to make me go look it up now. Y'all are not nice.
But it was so good. Oh, my God. I will tell you, the scenes between Eric and his vampire sister. Oh, my God.
What?
She's not a blood sister. She's not like his blood sister.
I don't remember him having a sister.
Well, no, I guess they just brought her in. But, ooh, it was hot.
I remember Bill having a sister in the books.
Alexander. Y'all could just keep him naked a whole other season. I'm fine with that.
I remember him having a brother. Crazy child vampire brother.
Well, he's got a sister in the show. She just made her debut yesterday. And the whole, oh, man. Ooh, I am so happy to have True Blood back. I wish they were in the flip side, the winter season, so it was longer. And you know how they do? They're so good. Have you watched the show yet at all?
True Blood? Yes.
You know how I love, this is what makes the show so good and why I think they're the masters of storytelling, is they start pulling you into the other part of the story right before the show ends, and you start settling in when there's a new part of the storyline, and then bam, that's when they go, sorry, next week.
I know, they're so mean. They're so mean. I watched that show religiously. By the way, now you got me.
I got you hooked. See, Jay's like, don't spoil it for Ginger. It was amazing. And that's all.
Dude,
I'm
spoil it for me. Spoil it for me.
Kenny, I got two more shows I watched during the summer. I'm waiting for, oh, crap. Of course, Leverage. Y'all know I love me some Leverage. Oof. Geek. Oh, man. Hardison, my favorite geek. And then you have Fallen Skies, which is actually pretty damn good. I was not expecting it to be that good, but it's good. And nobody tell me anything because, you know, I actually haven't seen the season finale for the end of last year, so I have to go on my on-demand and watch it before it actually air. The show starts airing again, so I know what's going on. Also, very good show. Very zombie apocalypse-ish, but with aliens in place. Very good. You know, what would you do if you were, you know, if there were aliens? We always expect zombies, but what happens when other life forms come? That's the other thing I watched all, I think, the whole day yesterday, something to do with aliens and their integration into our society. Game developers, y'all need to check out that channel. That's a, I forgot, I think it was a History Channel. I'm not really sure, but y'all need to watch it.
That's interesting.
Some good game ideas there, really good game ideas. I was like, I would play the hell out of this if this actually was a game. Anyway, we got news.
That's fine, Jay, that's fine. Don't spoil it for me. I'll watch it later.
She just says you love Fallen Skies. Fallen Skies is awesome. Okay. I got some charts. Can I go ahead and get these out?
Yeah, you go ahead. You go ahead. I'm glaring at Jay.
Don't glare. We want
Jay,
you to
I've already got the divorce paperwork going.
No, you can't divorce Jay. Really, it is so good. We cannot tell you. We cannot ruin it for you. I want you, if you watch it today, to go ahead and just give a scream or yell wherever, Twitter, as soon as you see the part that you like. Okay, so anyway, over the weekend.
All right, I'll cinch cast it.
Yeah, it'll be one long scream. So over the weekend,
apparently GLaDOS has us.
She does. GLaDOS, give us free.
I know, right? GLaDOS, let go.
GLaDOS.
Stab you in the face, GLaDOS.
Don't stab GLaDOS in the face. She means no harm. She's a good robot. She really is. Although she wouldn't like to be called a robot, I'm sure. Let me see if we can help that. Hopefully she's gone. GLaDOS, have you left us? GLaDOS, go away. Okay,
we're gonna find me, so.
It might just be Jay. Jay, that's just you and your work. That's that sandwich you're eating that you never give us.
I know, right? Ugh, Jay. Don't you know I'm hungry? I'm starving over here, Jay. I'm starving.
Girl, you got to let me do these charts here. Let me do it.
My bad.
Get them out of the way. Okay, so what were you guys playing over the weekend? Number 10 is Dirt Showdown, which I'm kind of getting interested in again. Number 9, you got your Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games, which I'm pretty sure is going to stay in the top 10 until the Olympics is over. Number 8, yes, is FIFA Street. They never leave the top 10. Number 7, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3. Number 6, a brand new entry from last week, Game of Thrones, which I was not expecting to make any charts, I got to tell you, but I hear it's actually pretty good. And I'm not watching the show, so I'm not playing it. Sorry, Koch Media. Number 5, Sniper Elite Version 2. 4, Battlefield 3. 3, yes, it's FIFA 12. Back in the top 3 again. Number 2, Max Payne 3. And number 1, I don't understand why, but it's Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Why?
I no idea.
I'm really disappointed in you all for Ghost Recon. But here's the amazing thing about those charts. Although Ubisoft, I think they have been, like, everything we saw at E3 to Ghost Recon, I was like, I think Ubisoft and I are going to kind of break up because I have to see what they do with the new Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. But this Watch Dogs business, they are quickly becoming the darling. The darlings, the name of the company that makes the game is called, how could I forget just that quickly? Reflections, I'm sorry. Reflections is actually a game company here in Houston. Hi, guys. Reflections, they're in Newcastle, and this is a brand new IP, never been done before. The GM is a woman. Her name is Giselle Stewart. Hi, Giselle. So they're very excited that they get to work with Microsoft Montreal is where it's coming from on this brand new IP. And they are looking for people who need jobs, need to be paying attention, looking for creative directors, senior gameplay programmers, and experienced GUI artists. So get over there if you need a job. They also need a new studio manager. And this game is getting all kinds of critical acclaim, and they did a formal trailer, but you know what? Everybody is really going crazy. The game, like, because it does look amazing. If you've not watched the trailer, look at it. You know, I have my water fetish in games. Oh, my God, the reflections are so beautiful. Clothes are a little too shiny for my liking. But the water, the way it splashes, if you look very carefully, you see people walking, it actually splashes up from their feet. Yeah, that is lovely right there. Lovely. Okay. So anyway, I'm very proud to hear that it's a brand new IP. I'm very excited to see what they're going to do with it, to play it. I don't know when it's coming out, and I'm really not going to watch the date because I'll be mad if E3 rolls around next year and they still haven't released it. I hate when they do that. Don't show it to me unless I'm going to get it in the next few months.
Y'all are making Corey sad and upset.
I'm mad. I have to fly to Montreal.
Oh, cool.
You know what? I also need to say something before I forget it. It's actually 3 days from now. I want to say happy birthday 3 days early to one that I consider gaming world, Sherry Garner Bay. Yes, if you remember correctly, I did curtsy to you when I met you, you and Miss Clarissa Mary Penn. So happy early birthday. If you don't know who she is, look her up on Wikipedia. This is the be-all to end-all gamer girls, Sherry Garner-Ray. Go check her out. And tell happy birthday. Her birthday is actually on June 14th, but I am afraid I'm going to forget. So happy, happy birthday, Sherry, Sherry, Sherry. Happy birthday. Anyway, moving on. Ginger, what you got?
I was reading Twitter, but all right. How Nintendo will keep the Wii U you know what? It's too early. It's Monday. I'm still exhausted from the weekend. How Nintendo will keep the Wii U Miiverse clean. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning. The first thing that crossed my mind when Nintendo showed the Miiverse at its E3 press conference was how long after the Wii U launch will the first user type out an expletive? Yeah, I thought the same thing when I saw that. I was thinking, yeah, how long until we see the first... Apparently, Nintendo's solution for dealing with potty mouths is a system that uses humans to scream bad or inappropriate language. Nintendo's chief executive, Satoru Iwata, says that the company plans to implement and use three separate systems. The first system is a traditional filtering system that checks for unpleasant words and replaces them with asterisks. The next step in the process is to pass the content on to a human employee who will be in charge of scanning for even naughtier or politically incorrect words. The attraction of a social network is the immediacy of the feedback. On the other hand, it's absolutely essential that parents need to feel comfortable with Miiverse as a safe place for their children. Finally, the third part of the system is the users themselves, who will have the ability to flag inappropriate content. The most obvious question adult consumers might ask is, can all this filtering and screening be turned off for the adults who don't mind the occasional swear word? I don't know.
I think you need to do what a lot of people do and create a separate server for adults and for children. And as I said it before, somebody needs to put in place, there needs to be two new licenses created. You need to have a license to get on the internet in the first place, and then there should be a license that's attached to games, and specifically being able to play or have M-rated games or, you know, mm-hmm. or be a part of those adult servers, because the government still does not understand. Not everybody that plays a game is a kid. And the kids do need their separate space, and I know a lot of the kids don't want to hear that, but I think that's just what we need. It may sound horrible, a lot of you don't agree with it, but I prefer when I'm playing Left 4 Dead with all of you out there, and Ginger, and we play with Jace, and Horace, who won't play with us, you so-and-so. I want to be able to yell out some expletives, or listen to you yell expletives. It's funny. It is so hilarious to hear some of the cuss words we string together. Don't even go together. It's just funny.
This is so true.
You know, cuss words are supposed to go together. You know, you use ones that kind of flow together. Y'all know what I'm saying?
Not so much.
These do not go together. Son of a biscuit chew, blah. You know, this is not. It's hilarious. That's what makes it funny for us adults, but kids shouldn't hear it. And we really should. They really should have their own space. I do applaud Facebook for trying to do this. I don't know how that's going to work out, but, you know, Xbox needs to look at it, PlayStation. The Wii is a kid space, period. But so we need one, you know, on the other consoles since everybody's so diversified.
Yeah.
Are we talking about Crackdown on Twitter? If you're not following us on Twitter, you should be. Crackdown was awesome. Did you ever play Crackdown?
No.
I loved me some Crackdown. I remember being up, you know, those early days before you were in serious relationships, being up with my boyfriend's house. 7 in the morning, and we're up making breakfast. Everybody's tired. Nobody's brushed their teeth. And we're playing Crackdown. It's pouring down rain, and people are yelling at the screen. Ah, did you pick? You didn't pick that up. Look how he's shooting. Oh, hotness. Fun. That's fun right there. That's good fun. All right. So if you were watching our pre-tweet tease is what I'm going to call it. Is it tease, pre-tweet? Pre-show tweet? Whatever. Okay, so the
match. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that works. There are some new leaked rumors and details about the new MacBook. Uh-huh.
Oh, really? What do we got? What do we got?
According to VentureBeat, several of eager developers and journalists have lined up for Apple's WWDC keynote this morning. Some new details have come out. Among the scheduled hardware upgrades, Apple will be offering the MacBook Air with up to 8 gigabytes of RAM. That's I said RAM, gigabytes of RAM, okay, and a 512 gigabyte SSD storage. It's going to be the first Mac Pro update in 2 years, and the long-awaited MacBook Pros are going to come with sharp Retina displays. This is also being reported by 9to5 Mac. Many of the upgrades have been expected and or rumored for some time, so there's not much left to surprise for many people, though it sounds like you'll be paying more than you thought for that Retina MacBook Pro. According to 9to5 Mac sources, the machine's high-end specs could surpass around $4,000 in some countries. Even at the low end, the Retina MacBook Pros look like powerhouses as they start out. Start out with 2.3 gigahertz quad-core processor, hands above the desk, 8 gigabytes of RAM, and 256 gigabyte SSD for storage. Now, yes, the current details do not mention anything about thinner MacBook Pros, which have been rumored for the past year, but we can still see them end up later today. It doesn't look like much has changed with the MacBook Air aside from the new high-end models with 8 gigabytes of RAM and higher capacity 512 gigabytes SSD for the 13-inch model. Like all of Apple's new hardware, the new revamped MacBook Air will sport Ivy Bridge processors starting at 1.7 gigahertz and 1.8 gigahertz for the 11-inch and 13-inch models, respectively. The Mac Pro upgrade should make desktop power users especially happy. The lowest-end MacBook Pro will start with this. Hands above the desk, please. Put your hands on the desk, people. Start with a 3.2 gigahertz quad-core processor, 6 gigabytes of RAM, and a 1 terabyte hard drive, and a Radeon 5770 graphics card.
Wow, that is so
hot. Oh, wait. And they said you'll be able to mix and match all sorts of hardware with the new MacBook Pro. That is so hot for me. You know, more games are making their way onto the Mac. Keep an eye out. If you want to, you can pop over to Apple's keynote. I believe they broadcast it live. I don't know that we'll be watching it today because I am still fighting with Game of Nature's upgrade. She is a stubborn.
I know. I was trying to post all the Pixonista stuff last night because I had like several days to catch up on because I swear to God, I'm gone for like 2 days and I come back to like an inventory full of stuff. Anyways, yeah, so I was trying to get, I don't know, 5-6 Pixonistas put up last night and it kept telling me, error. like invalid key token or something. I was like, wait, what?
It's being sick. Corey, what are you doing to this file? I was like,
what is it? You're going to let me post.
There's going to be problems. You understand me, Gabriel?
You're going to let me post.
So, yes, interesting weekend with upgrades. Ooh, almost done.
Almost done.
Well, no, actually, I'm not. I'm about 50% of the way through, and then we have a new front end coming, which I'm hoping I could get working. Going to be beautiful.
What? One?
Huh?
I said, is it that one that you were showing me?
Mm-hmm. But I gotta I'll talk to you about that off air. They don't want to hear about that stuff. Anyway, moving along. What you got?
They might. You never know. All right. So what do we got?
No, I didn't see it. What you got?
GamePolitics.com this morning's judge dismisses Apple versus Motorola patent case.
We said they were.
Yeah, we did. U.S. District Court Judge Richard A. Posner has rejected the claims that both Apple and Google-owned Motorola Mobility in a long-run patent fight between the two companies. Judge Posner rejected both companies' damages claims, and the trial was to begin on Monday, which is today. Judge Posner wrote in his order yesterday, I have tentatively decided that the case should be dismissed with prejudice because neither party can establish a right to relief. Judge Posner went on to say that his final judgment would be delayed until he wrote a longer decision next week, adding that he might change his mind. The two companies have been in a death match over patents and cases all over the world since 2010, and this decision probably won't deter fights in other parts of the world where the legal battle will continue. Oh, good Lord, I don't know why I can't talk this morning. Motorola and Apple.
Let it out.
Not going to happen.
Well, I think this whole argument is stupid.
Yeah.
Like I said, if you would just say to each other, you know what, you can do whatever you like. We will just give us a little bit of money. We're good.
Or, you know what, just take it as competition and keep one-upping each other.
Yeah. But they don't see it that way. Well, I got to mention it this week. A new game has come out, which we were not sure if we were going to like at all, but I want to mention it anyway. I'm kind of liking it and kind of hating it at the same time. Remember? Lollipop Chainsaw.
Lollipop Chainsaw! Oh, my God. And that does come out this week, doesn't it?
Say again?
It does come out this week, doesn't it? Right?
It's actually out. came out over the weekend.
Oh!
Or actually, it's supposed to hit shelves this week. Yeah. Wait a minute, let me make sure I get a date. Okay, actually, it's going to be June 16th, so it'll be this Friday. And also Gravity Rush is coming out. These are both coming out in America and Europe, and Persona 4, The Golden, and the Keep It Trip Plus. I am not sure how I feel about Lollipop Chainsaw. We watched the trailer together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, of course, a blatant ripoff of Buffy, but with zombies in place of vampires. I love the gameplay. It looks amazing. You know, just mindless fun. But what I don't like is the whole costumes. That's where the developers mess up with getting the women in. I don't want the costumes, the maid's uniform. That doesn't do anything for us as girl gamers. If anything, give us some extra outfits that we can put on her that are a little less revealing. Because who would fight zombies wearing a sports bra and a miniskirt? Or, you know, this is... You might cut your midriff. Not that a shirt would prevent you, but...
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think, you know? Yeah.
We didn't ever see Buffy did.
Unfortunately, you've got a point there.
So it'll be fun, but I need you guys to, you know, come off of the sexist side a little bit. I'm interested in playing, and I think it was cute, the whole pom-poms thing. When she kills them, and then she does the cheer thing is cute. But come on now. It's a little bit over the line.
Just a little bit. All right. Oh, looks like GameStop is not going to have very much competition at all in Australia.
Oh, really?
All Game Australia stores to close by the end of next week.
Oh.
Yeah, that sucks. Citing an anonymous source close to the retailer, GameSpot Australia is reporting that all of Australia's game retail stores will be shut down by the end of next week. The anonymous source also asserts that the business is now $120 million in debt.
Oof.
Ouch. Accounting firm PricewaterhouseCoopers, who is in charge of the company while it is in administration, denied the rumor. PwC spokesperson Megan Senior tells GameSpot AU that there are a few options if the company is not sold. But another anonymous source speaking to GameSpot AA said that there are no buyers for Game Australia lined up. Game Australia has been in administration since the middle of May and has already shut down 60 stores and laid off 281 employees. Ouch, I'm sorry. Man, I hate to hear that. I don't like to hear of anybody out of a job. And this has just gone from bad to worse.
Hmm.
And it happened so quickly, it seemed, you know?
Well, guys, you know what? Come on out of Australia. There's plenty of jobs here in Texas.
Yeah,
in Montreal, apparently. Okay. Yeah. That's horrible.
See all day long. I will pay you to read the phone book.
Well, we got some... I'm having a moment. Okay, so...
Oh, yeah?
There's some interesting things I must share.
What do you got?
Well, there is some news about... Well, let's start with the bad news first, because I'm going to do two really quick, Jen. Okay, so we've been mentioning to you about Flame and Stuxnet. Kaspersky is coming out with a new little report that says... Malware linked Our researchers at a security company, Kaspersky Labs, have discovered that portions of the Flame malware are nearly identical to parts from the famed Stuxnet worm discovered in 2010 and was recently revealed to be part of a U.S. cyber war effort in Iran. The similarities of Flame and Stuxnet have not gone unnoticed, but it's only today that, but it's only today that the extent of similarities is finally being realized, calling the evidence conclusive. Kaspersky researcher Roel Schwellenberg found similarities all across the code of both operations. For researchers, this could only mean one thing. The writers of Flame and Stuxnet were working together. And this wasn't just a casual collaboration. The developers actually shared source code. This is what Schoenberg said, and is supposed to be a major revelation on the part of Kaspersky. With these kind of operations, your source code is your ultimate possession, and this was shared. This is what he said in an online press conference last Monday. He says, you don't share your source of income. This confirms their beliefs, he said, that the projects were developed in parallel and commissioned by the same entities. One of the links comes in the form of Resource 207, a module used to automatically infect removable USB drives. A major component of early versions of Stuxnet portions of the file were also discovered in Flame. With the newest findings, Kaspersky Lab researchers have concluded that Flame predates Stuxnet and that Flame itself was used as a platform for the Stuxnet effort. The efforts of the two teams working on the project split in 2009, Kaspersky believes. Schoenberg has some theories on the connection and said that it's possible that Stuxnet was meant to be primarily a sabotage operation. Flame, on the other hand, was built for espionage and information acquisition. It's possible that the developers didn't want to mix the tools any longer than it was strictly necessary, Schoenberg said. With every new discovery, researchers are getting not just a clearer picture of Flame, but something much larger as well. He says if we discover something in Flame, it may tell us something about the whole organization. He says all of which underscores the importance of previous findings that the Flame writers were attempting to erase the malware from infected computers. Perhaps this connection is one that creators of both programs wanted to keep secret. And I still stand by my original accusation that Kaspersky is the one that created this thing. It's ironic that they're the only ones to find it, really.
Yeah, that is kind of nuts that they are the only ones to find it.
And if I'm not mistaken, they were the first ones to find the previous one. So I'm wondering, you talking about the same people who commissioned it? Looks like you all did. I'm sorry, it just doesn't sound right to me.
It doesn't. Seems like something's up.
Yeah, you're the only ones that have this. You're the only ones researching it. So why isn't we have AVG and all these other companies, Norton's and McAfee, why aren't they asking to help with research as well? If it was supposed to be this effort to keep this from spreading all over the Internet, why does no one else have it except you?
Exactly.
No, we discovered it. I think you let it in the first place.
And they might have. They might very well have. And that is kind of scary to think about, you know?
Our antivirus companies have a lot of power. They're on every computer. Think about it.
They are. They are. And it's really quite frightening to even imagine that somebody would do that.
Disturbing. That makes more people want to buy Kaspersky because you keep seeing their name. Oh, I know. I'm sorry. I was supposed to do another one.
Oh, were you? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So then I had good news. Okay, so Channel 4 over across the big pond, UK broadcaster Channel 4 will be offering a €25,000 reward to the winner of the 2012 Dare to Be Digital competition. Yay! And they will also be offering mentoring support for the successful project. The winner of the prize will be selected by panel from entries from 70 universities in 13 countries around the world. Continued development on the project will be funded up to the €25,000 maximum. The winner will be selected alongside the competition's three main prize winners, which will automatically be entered into BAFTA's One to Watch Awards. Dare to Be Digital is an increasingly important event in the annual gaming calendar, said the people over at Channel 4 Games, and specifically the commissioner, Colin McDonald. He said, I've been involved in mentoring and judging Dare to Be Digital since its early years, and never does it cease to amaze me the quality of games produced in such a short space of time. He says, our contribution to Dare 2012 represents part of Channel 4's commitment to uncovering and developing great talent in the UK games industry, and this prize is a great opportunity for Channel 4 to work with the next generation of UK games developers, and I look forward to getting to play some absolutely fantastic games. The channel has a long history of games involvement in industry figures like Alice Taylor and the current UK CEO, who provides us with our charts, by the way, Joe Twist, both making games a significant part of their remit as previous holders of the education commissioning role at the network. Dare to Be Digital opens today and runs for 9 weeks the supervision of the University of Aberdeen, Dundee. And they do put out some really great games. Pop over to the site. Sometimes they manage to put a couple up. Jay says he's convinced that Australia hates video games.
They do. It's something. Seriously. It does seem that way, doesn't it?
I can't even tell you. My people that live in Australia, I don't know if they like. Well, I know they like games, but I don't. You know, they can't support the whole industry alone. You know.
Yeah. I know, but it does seem like, man, there's just something there. Okay, so what have I got? Start your engines. Nintendo launches. Yes. Nintendo launches search to find Britain's fastest family Mario Kart 7 Britons. They wrote this twice. To find Britain's fastest family Mario Kart 7 family tournament, win a car. All right. Limited edition trophy and other amazing prizes. Things are really heating up this summer as Mario Kart 7 on Nintendo's Fever looks set to sweep the nation. Nintendo is on a mission to launch Britain's biggest family gaming tournament as they search to find Britain's fastest family with Mario Kart 7, the fun family racing game. Whoever is crowned Britain's fastest family will become the proud owners of a stunning new Honda Jazz C, not to mention a limited edition Mario Kart 7 trophy, and a host of other incredible prizes. With all this to race for, it's time to get practicing. The Mario Kart 7 Britain's fastest family tournament will run across England, Scotland, and Wales, offering all Mario Kart 7 fans the opportunity to compete to get the fastest race times. Regional heats will take place throughout August, but only the fastest will make the cut and gain a seat at the grand finale in October to be in with a chance to claim the car, title, trophy, and incredible prizes. Family ties will be tested to the max as the competition is to be made up exclusively of teams. Young and old family racers alike will join forces to see off the intense competition via a mix of blistering speed and ruthless strategy. Expect no-holds-barred racing as Mario Kart 7 offers the ability to glide over the track as well as speed on the sea floor as you race underwater, all in glorious 3D. That's awesome. All right, so for the ultimate winner awaits a new Honda Jazz C combining space, versatility, and economic running cost with sporty suspension and styling. Yay! All right, so anyways, I have this up on GameMatrix.com with a photo of Shigeru Miyamoto in a larger-than-life Mario Kart. So go check it out. Do it. Go for it.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Corey. Hello, you, my Corey.
Sure is. Oh, my God. So, I got my shoes over the weekend. I just want to share with y'all.
Oh, yeah?
Did you see them?
No,
oh, my God.
I didn't see them.
Dude, those shoes are hot.
That's awesome.
Very hot. Can I wait to wear them? I started to just walk outside of them this morning just to check the mail. Hot. Okay, that has nothing to do with anything, but probably tomorrow night we'll be talking about them on Pixinista. Okay.
Yay!
Anyway. Yeah, I do wish I could breathe and stuff. Thank you, Texas, for the lovely weather.
I know. Seriously, that was the one good thing about the weekend. It was only in the 80s where I was at.
So oh, sure. Rub it in then, Ginger.
So nice. It was like, yay.
Y'all know I'm giving Ginger the face right now, right?
She's still giving me the face. But that is perfectly okay. You can give me the face. I am not scared.
Mm-hmm.
I know you love me.
I love you. But I cut you. Okay,
no,
anyway.
Don't cut me.
All right, so there is debate going on. You all probably need to pay attention. Gamers. The ESA, finally stepping their toe in the water, has added the weight of an opinion that they have to an ongoing legal debate over the potential ban of Microsoft and Apple products in the U.S. after a preliminary ruling by a judge recommended that the ITC impose import and sale restrictions. The case stems from alleged patent infringement by Microsoft and other companies on patents owned by Motorola, which are deemed to be vital enough to development to be covered by FRAND. It's a legislation which ensures that such technology is available under commercially acceptable terms in order to promote technological advancement. Motorola stands accused of not meeting those standards Judge David Shaw of the ICC initially recommended a potential ban, which would cover the Xbox 360 as well as other Microsoft products, but it is deemed unlikely that this will be enforced. If he's smart, it'll be not be enforced. The recommendation now lies in the hands of the ICC Commission, which is currently inviting input from relevant parties on whether a ban would be in the public interest or not. The ESA has submitted a statement urging the commission to override the recommendation, as reported by specialist patent blog False Patents. Our membership includes most of the major U.S. game publishers and the major video game console makers, said the ESA statement. Accordingly, the ESA is uniquely positioned to describe the impact on the public interest of an exclusion order affecting the Xbox. He said the video game industry is a significant contributor to the U.S. economy and job growth and reaches American consumers of all walks of life. Very true. According to a 2011 NPD industry sales report, nearly three-quarters of all American households play games, and consumers spent nearly $25 billion on video games, hardware, and accessories in 2011 alone. Okay, so as described in more detail, the order banning the importation of Xbox gaming consoles into the U.S. would harm not only Microsoft, but a variety of other parties across the gaming ecosystem, including, most importantly, consumers and game publishers. Wow.
That is wow.
This is why I say to Microsoft and Apple, stop having your products built overseas. I know it's cheaper, but if you would just bring it back home.
Mm-hmm. Yes, or bring this is kind of getting a little bit out of hand, people.
Yeah, because if I'm telling you now, people lose their Xboxes, it's going to be a riot.
Huge riot. Can you imagine? Oh, my God. The absolute mayhem that will go on.
And it won't just be gamers. Do you know how many people I've talked to as of late that are not even gamers, but they bought an Xbox because they can watch their HBO on it? It's an extra cable box that they can have in the house.
Yeah.
And they can put it in another room, and then, you know, if they, you know, the kids are bothering them, you know, go back there and play Xbox. You watch what you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
This is not a good idea, Judge David Shaw. Not smart. And I'm pretty sure you have kids at home, or grandkids, or nieces, or nephews. You have some family that has an Xbox, and here's what happens. They may have one now, but if it breaks and they can't import new ones, guess what? No Xbox.
No Xbox?
Very angry gamers.
No. It's gotta have an Xbox. Got to have an Xbox.
Mm-hmm. It's gonna be bad.
Gotta have an Xbox. All right. So, Senator offers compromise on cybersecurity bill. Senators Sheldon Whitehouse and John Kyle are offering a draft cybersecurity bill to fellow senators that they hope will convince them to support the bill. I lost my place. The Senate version
never
of the
scroll,
cybersecurity bill, sponsored by Senator Joseph Lieberman and Susan Collins, has taken a lot of heat from Republican lawmakers. Republicans led by Senator John McCain have strongly criticized the bill, saying it would impose unnecessary burdens on businesses. Of course, it would be nice if senators were up in arms about the potential damage the bill could do to the rights of everyday citizens. The White House has endorsed a bill from Senators Joe Lieberman and Susan Collins. The proposal could still get a cool reception from industry groups that oppose the regulatory regime of Lieberman-Collins because it still creates a special program to watch over and scrutinize their security systems. Meanwhile, Internet and free speech advocates still think both the Senate's version of the bill and the House's bill, CISPA, are a horrible idea. Eventually, these two bills will have to be reconciled into one nightmarish Frankenstein monster that covers critical infrastructure concerns and gives law enforcement and government agencies access to the Internet user private information in the name of cybersecurity. You know what? Or we could just, you know, vote these people out of office and not have this happen at all. That's what I vote for.
Our community is too online. Sorry, guys. Take your handhelds and go outside and start, you know.
Yes. Protest. Protest with your DSs or something.
Your DS, your Vita. Bring your castanets. You can click them as the people walk by.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, I'm telling you, I'm going to make some Vita castanets. You guys think I'm joking. Just click, 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 and they're going to say Vita on them. I'm going to have the whole Spanish, you know, with the fan in my hair and the dress.
That's going to be awesome.
I'm going to call myself Vita. Okay, so those of you who are concerned about your LinkedIn accounts, I have some good news, namely us too.
What you got?
Like, me too, because I had a LinkedIn account. LinkedIn is saying, well, let's back it up. Professional social network LinkedIn said they would like you to know that it has taken the recent password security breach to heart, despite lacking greater measures to prevent such hacks, and Chief Information Security Officer is charged with keeping track, that it would be charged with keeping track of privacy flaws. The company is taking a lot of heat after hackers divulged 6.5 million user passwords and uploaded them to a Russian forum for help encrypting them. The security breach is, of course, due to an exploit with the way LinkedIn's mobile app handles the user's calendar data. As VentureBeat, our friends over at VentureBeat, have previously reported, LinkedIn later confirmed the breach and advised its users on what steps to take to ensure their information was secure. In a blog post reaffirming its commitment to security yesterday, LinkedIn claimed that it has no evidence of any accounts being compromised as a result of the security breach. Despite this, LinkedIn members aren't ready to forgive and forget. Some users are complaining that LinkedIn didn't act quickly enough in contacting them about the password leak. Sounds familiar? PlayStation. While security experts are pointing out that the company...
Blizzard
don't acknowledge it at all. We know they've been hacked. The company could have added an extra layer of password security known as faulting. There's also the matter of a social network not having an executive-level officer to manage security and privacy. In the blog post, LinkedIn Director of Engineering Vicente Silveira wrote, "We take this criminal activity very seriously. So we're working closely with the FBI as they aggressively pursue the perpetrators of this crime. As you may have heard, there have been reports of other websites that have suffered similar thefts." No. We want to be as transparent as possible while at the same time preventing the security of our members without jeopardizing the ongoing investigation. As far as leaked user data is concerned, probably the worst candidate this could happen to is LinkedIn, which contains plenty of personal contact information and linked relationships between business associates across the globe. This could have the potential to wreck business deals and end professional careers. It's good that the company is being proactive with messages on its blog, but it'll have to do better if it wants to regain the trust of its users. LinkedIn.
Yes. LinkedIn, what are you doing? What are you thinking?
I don't even know what to say.
What's happening with companies recently? You think they would learn from other people doing the same thing, you know?
They should have learned from PlayStation. If nobody, that was the biggest example that we have. So why they weren't ready, I don't know. Oh, for those of you, somebody just PM'd me asking, the Microsoft keynote, not Microsoft, I'm sorry, Apple, their keynote, their WWDC starts at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, which would have been about an hour ago if you were wanting to watch. I'm sure if you go over, you can stream it and catch some of it and get caught up. Like I said, we're not watching it, obviously, because we're doing the show.
Exactly.
So we can't. Apparently, also, while this is going on, there is a new hack. Is it my turn again?
No.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, go. Well, I'll tell them later. Go ahead.
All right. One Piece-inspired Pocky Pirates launching this summer. Yay! Brand new pirate MMORPG setting sails soon. Publisher InGames has announced an exciting new addition to their line of anime-inspired Pocky games, Pocky Pirates. Based on the popular One Piece anime, Pocky Pirates lets players roam the seas on an epic quest to become the ultimate pirate king. Some dreams never die. As a One Piece protagonist, Monkey D. Luffy once said, "One day I'll have a ship and crew better than yours, and we'll have the biggest hoard of treasure in the world. Yeah, I'll become the pirate king." This is the premise of Pocky Pirates, a thrilling, graphically lush new game from publishing InGames, best known for the popular Naruto and Bleach-inspired MMO Pocky Ninja. All right, so closed beta launching late June. Hey, guys, I want in on this, just saying. Pocky Pirates is the first horizontal side-scrolling RPG released on the 3-2-1 network. Based on the popular One Piece anime, players take on the role of a young pirate determined to find the legendary treasures and become the king of the pirates. A plethora of fun yet challenging tasks awaits on the quest to dominate the high seas. There are no shortage of enemies roaming the Pocky Pirates oceans, all of them hell-bent on claiming the valuable undersea treasures for themselves and by any means possible. Pocky Pirates mixes a refined blend of strategy and tactics with an entertaining game plot, cute characters based on the One Piece franchise, dazzling skills and abilities, and quality-designed backgrounds promise to bring a charming, exciting adventure game world to life. MMORPG pirates and One Piece fans alike can team up with trustworthy buddies to run a pirate ship, build fleets, and even claim an exotic island of their very own to store treasures and share stories of their adventures. Become the king of the pirates and join Pocky Pirates on Game 321 this summer. You can pre-register at the official website, which is pirates321.com. Looks like they also have a Facebook and a Twitter. And I have all this information up for you on GameAndMatrix.com this morning. So head over there and check it out. Do it. Go for it. Do it.
Well, apparently you can share worms with your friends now.
Oh, that's so gross.
Veteran publisher Team 17 is proud to announce the most recent update for their iOS version of Worms 2 Armageddon. Worms 2 Armageddon now boasts the fans' most requested feature, asynchronous play. In addition to Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, and local hot seat games, players are now able to battle it out in true turn-based asynchronous fashion. W2 Armageddon. How about that? Players will be able to battle against their friends or use Game Center's auto-match facility to find new opponents to test out their skills, strategies, and tactics against. Players are able to participate in up to 16 simultaneous games for maximum wormage. Available now for the apps from the App Store. W2 Armageddon is compatible with your iPod Touch, iPhone, and iPad. It does require you to have iOS 3.1 and higher. I don't know which iPad that goes with. I still have, I think, one, and I just don't care. If it don't play, I move along to the next game that does. Again, Worms 2 Armageddon was developed and published by Team 17 Software. Team 17 Software and Worms Reloaded are trademarks, blah, 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 blah. We don't really care about that. You want to know how much it costs? They did not send me a price. And I can pop over.
How dare they not send you a price?
Oh, I hate when they do that. Okay, it looks like it's about 99 cents, which is good. That's what I was looking for, price. And, of course, it looks interesting if you're wanting to play. It looks very interesting. I think this would be fun for a little person. Little people would like this. And I don't mean Baby Natrix. They say it's ages 9 plus, but no, Baby Natrix would throw this away. But little people, you know, saying 5, 6, would probably love this. Be big fun. And 99 cents, you can't beat that. With a bat. Well, you could, but... Ginger? Are you alive, Ginger?
Oh, my God. I'm all muted and making jokes about with a bat, and I'm...
Mm-hmm.
And you can't hear me.
But I do want to share with you this so I can have you go all in the high register. Ha, 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 ha. Ginger, are you sitting down?
I'm sitting. What do you have? What do you have?
Are you absolutely sitting?
I am absolutely sitting. See, I'm wiggling my butt in my chair.
Put your hands above the desk. I need some background music.
I'm scared. Oh, it's Halo! 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 Master Chief! Oh, I watched. I'm caught up on season
10. Well, this is not Halo per se, but Mad Catz Interactive today announced that it is entering into an agreement with Microsoft Studios to create Halo 4 branded gaming headsets that are going to be released later this year.
Ooh, I need a new headset.
Mr. Darren Richardson, who's the president and chief executive officer of Mad Catz Interactive, said Halo is one of the world's most popular video games, and these new Halo-branded headsets are sure to appeal to the very passionate gamer, namely Ginger, who wants to maximize her Halo experience. Frank Connor, who's a franchise development director at 340 Studios, stated that we're working closely with Triton, who made the headset that I'm wearing, I believe. Oh, nope, I lie. Or maybe they did. I don't really know. If it is, good headset. I've had this for a while. So they're working with them and industrial designers to ensure compelling and appropriate technological and aesthetic designs that map closely to Halo's epic sci-fi universe. You're all right, babe.
I want this. That'd be so awesome. I want that.
Unfortunately, they have not sent over any little prototype screenshots, but Ginger and the rest of you out there who must have some Halo-centric
prototype,
gear,
I want a real one.
I know.
Send me one. Come on, guys.
Okay. You can go over to Mad Catz Inc. on Facebook and follow them. They do make good stuff. Wait a minute. Are they the ones that sent you the little thumbstick thing? We have some people send us stuff.
I don't remember, but I don't think so.
Mm. may not have been. I can't remember. But you could pop over and check them out. They make good stuff at Mad Cats. They started out not so great, but they make some good stuff now. Fantastic gear. They were out at E3. If you got to check them out, make sure you send us some pictures. Also, Triton, excellent bunch of people. We still have to get on to them about their booth babes that demo the stuff. Guys, if you're going to have women, we need some shirtless guys demoing the stuff, too, so we can come over.
Okay. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. We do. We do.
Just saying.
All right. We've got more hacking, and this one is short, so I'm going to end up doing two.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I think this has happened before. League of Legends European database hacked.
Ooh.
Riot Games has issued a statement via its official League of Legends forums, letting players in Europe know that its user database for the game has been compromised. While the company says that no payment information was compromised during the security breach, the company did not say what personal information may have been stolen. The company urges all European players to change their passwords just to be safe. But even if you're not in Europe, it's probably a good idea to change your password just to be on the safe side. We'll have more on the story as it develops. Yes, we will, and I will be totally ragging on you because League of Legends, boo. It's not my game. It's not my game. It's not bad. It's just not my thing. All right. I think we talked about Friday, or at least we talked about the rumors about Nexon buying part of NCSoft.
Oh, we did mention. Yep.
All right. Well, this is up today. Nexon buys nearly 15% stake in NCSoft. A few months ago, rumors were flying that Japanese MMO company Nexon was going to buy a gigantic company like Electronic Arts. Today, we see a more realistic investment for the company responsible for MapleStory and other free-to-play games in the U.S. Nexon has bought a 14.7% stake in South Korean MMO maker NCSoft. Nexon purchased 3,218,091 shares from NCSoft CEO Take Jim Kim for approximately $686.8 million USD. This transaction brings together NCSoft's strong pipeline of compelling IP and Nexon's leading international publishing platform and expertise in the operation of free-to-play online games. This investment forms the basis of a partnership enabling both companies to leverage their strengths to facilitate attractive commercial opportunities. By creating this strategic relationship, both Nexon and NCSoft strengthen their commitment to deliver unrivaled gaming experiences to users around the world. And Nexon has put out some amazing free-to-play MMOs. And NCSoft, I want to say they own
City of Heroes.
City of Heroes.
Guild
they
Wars.
They also own Guild Wars. They also own Aeon.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, these two together making some powerful, powerful free-to-play MMOs. They're just amazing.
And yeah, City of Heroes went free-to-play, so if you've never tried it, now would be the time. If you give me a jingle... Well, you know what? My PC's not gonna cooperate just yet. So, but soon, Frankenstein, once she's fixed, you give me a jingle, I'll show you around. Show you my favorite spots. All right. It
Yay.
Is almost time for us to go, so I have to fit this last one in. I meant to fit it in the top of the show, but I saved best for last. Yes, get Call of Duty Black Ops 2.
Who?
Wii U. That's
Ooh.
Right. That's right. We told you they were saving stuff. So Wii U... apparently, they're saying they have a lot to prove still. While some core third-party titles were shown, the level of support probably isn't where it should be or where it will be yet, or even what we know. One game that could make a big splash on the Wii U is Black Ops 2, which Stern Agi analyst Arvind Bhatia believes is coming to the new console this holiday and should contribute to the incremental sales of the title and also the Wii U console. Activision, of course, has never been one to throw out its support behind new platforms right away. Activision publishing boss Eric Hirschberg reminded the peoples over at GI.biz that he says, we take our time to get our ducks in a row before pulling any trigger. We don't have any announcements today, but we will be supporting the Wii U. It's certainly easy to imagine how Call of Duty on Wii U could add in some extra functionality for checking maps and weapons among other things on the game at touchscreen. Hirschberg was reticent about diving any deeper into the Wii U discussion, but he wanted people to remember that we were there with second screen enhancements with Call of Duty Elite last year, and one of the primary uses we're finding comes through the tablet and through the smartphone. Hot, right?
That is totally hot.
He continued, people are using it as a sidecar as they're playing. People are using it in that in-between games, a way I think that you're now seeing that kind of rhetoric with the controller from Nintendo, as well as the smart glass presentation from Microsoft. step it up, Microsoft. So it's great that others are jumping on board and enhancing that idea, but it's something we were doing last year already with Elite. In a meeting with Treyarch Studio head Mark Lemia, games industry, GI.biz, said it was apparent that Treyarch is looking at Wii U at least if the company isn't already developing for it. Lemia was deliberately coy because I told y'all how Nintendo rolls. Mm-hmm. He says it's interesting that all platforms, just in general, that's part of my job as a studio head, working with Activision on assessing where our creative can live. How can people experience it? We obviously have been a Nintendo developer for many years and have created many Call of Duty games on the Nintendo platform. Wii U is clearly a more powerful platform than its predecessor, and they have obviously a unique controller and interface, Lemia added, and they announced a pro controller, which appears to be a controller that would be really good for first-person shooter games. It just so happens that that's what we specialize in, so that's an interesting development. And then they have that touch display device, and you think about the kinds of things you might be able to do, and without getting into specifics, he says, I absolutely have given it consideration and thought. We're game developers, and it's a new piece of hardware and technology, so we're always thinking about that stuff. When Lemia was pressed, he admitted, said it's difficult to say because it's something we're not talking about. I'm intentionally being elusive because we're not talking about it.
Wow. We're not talking about it.
As I have been saying all along, you guys, Nintendo is not the ones to reveal everything at E3, because you know what that gives Microsoft a chance to do? To try to... Or Sony, for that matter, copy or try to put out something similar and steal thunder from them. I am betting probably the week to 2 weeks before they release the Wii U is when they're going to start really showing you, now look what we can do. That's not enough time for somebody to come up with a new prototype or a new game.
Exactly.
And I give them props for putting the tablet together. Last year, I wasn't so sure looking at it. I was like, this kind of just looks like an iPad, but now that I've seen the controller and the way it looks, it is so sexy. Oh, I told y'all.
It is so sexy. I love it.
Get it and just rub my face up against it. That is a sexy controller. Touchscreen. Oh, man, I cannot tell y'all. And if it still has the motion sensor bar added in, Horace is saying that the Wii U sounds dirty. And I do believe you are right. Probably not in the way that you mean it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Good morning to you, Devin, who's calling us friends. He called us comrade. Comrade, yes.
Aww, he called us comrade.
Good morning to you as well, friend. We're doing good. We're doing good. I don't know if he's listening. He probably doesn't know we're online. Some people are talking to us and not knowing we're live. In any case.
Speaking of, yeah, I've got to tell you about that later. I had a friend of mine apparently picking on me. We did not answer the phone Thursday night.
Oh, dude. I do apologize. I was the one watching a switchboard. Tell him I'm sorry. And then I didn't see him. Sometimes you have to be in the chat room. If you're going to phone us, you have to be in the chat room and say, hey, I'm on the line so I can know to pick up because I'm not looking.
I know. He's like, well, I tried to ask you in game. I was like, oh, well then.
Chat rooms, people, chat rooms. You have to be able to find us. We're very elusive that way, like women can be. All right, people, we are so out of here. It is time for us to go.
Out of here. We'll be back tomorrow.
Tomorrow you get us twice. You know where to find us here at GamerNatrix.com, GamerGirlsRadio.com, and we are here on BT 24/7. You can listen to us anytime, any year, any place. Just go ahead and check us out. And if you're trying to access the site and it's crazy, no worries. Again, updates are coming. Ginger, don't cut me. I'm sorry.
I won't cut you. I love my Corey.
Sorry. Hey, Ginger, do you want to date my avatar?
I totally want to date your avatar.
Good.
Totally bouncing to this.
We always do.
Do you want to date my avatar? Yes, I do.